Glad everybody can make it out this morning. I'm particularly happy this morning for my Savior. Glad I'm saved this morning. I really am. You know, we sing these songs and some will say, well, you sing a lot of songs. Well, I could keep on singing. And the reason I keep on singing is for my Savior. You know, we're really missing something today in our churches across the land. Something that Fanny Crosby and them in the 1800s, 1700s, and even 1600s had, that the church is lost today because of the state that we're in and the worldliness that we have allowed to creep into our churches. And what I mean by worldliness today is not much what most would think when I'm talking about worldliness. I'm talking about worldliness in the sense that the church has tried to act like the world and try to be like the world in order to try to influence the world. And that's not where the power's at. What we're missing today is true godly repentance in this sense. That last line that Fanny Crosby wrote in that last song that we sang, she says in the last two stanzas, she says, love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. All right, so she says, I see this story of Jesus Christ. I see what he's done for me on that cross where they nailed him, where he was writhing in anguish and pain, and in the grave where they laid him. And she says in that last two stanzas of this song, she says, love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep. Stay, let me weep while you whisper that love paid the ransom for me. You see, today in our evangelism, in our hyper-evangelism, we don't give people long enough time to see that they're sick and get them to the place where they weep over their sins. No, just pray. You believe in Jesus, just pray, and you're good to go. You're going to heaven. Brethren, it's foreign. Some would say today I'm preaching heretical doctrine and gospel. No, I'm preaching the gospel, the truth of the Bible. How many people today do you know that weep over their sins before Jesus Christ? When's the last time you wept before the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm talking about saved people. When's the last time you spent time with God in a prayer closet and you wept? When you realized in your prayer closet as a saved individual what Jesus Christ has done for you. You see, preachers, no, we've circumvented. I said it many times in this church. By God's grace, I'm going to continue to say it because it's an epidemic in our churches today of hyper soul winning and producing a salvation that produces no effect in a Christian's life. I put that in quotations. No difference in a Christian's life. They believe, you talk to them on the street, yeah, they believe in Jesus, but on the outward, you wouldn't know. You'd have no clue. You'd have no clue that they believed in Jesus by what they put the emphasis on. And it used not to be that way. Used to, when you get saved, there's a change that occurs in your life that others can see. Now, I'm not saying you always live the right way and you always got all your ducks in a row and everything's always perfect in your life. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that you can't fall away from the Lord, but if you can fall away from the Lord for 17 years and ain't nothing still bother you, I got to scratch my head. That's all I got to say about it. I got to scratch my head. Because you got a different salvation than I got. You say, preacher, how can you say these things? Because I know what Jesus Christ did in my life. Yes, yes. And for people to say that they're Christians today and can get away with all kinds of stuff, and now chastisement should come, I believe that. Any good daddy is going to take care of issues with his sons or his daughters. And I've had four of them, and it didn't take me long when I found out something wasn't right in their life that I had to deal with, I dealt with it. But you know what's missing today is what we used to see how children were raised today. We got a lot of children being raised opposite of what the Bible says, thus not knowing God's judgment or God's holiness or God, what God thinks about sin. God despises sin, brethren. He's just not going to overlook the sin and just let you into heaven. That's not the God of the Bible. It may be a God that's being preached out there today, but it's not the God of this book right here. You read it from Genesis to Revelation, you're not going to find God just excusing sin and just say, oh, yep, you can just go ahead and on with the way you're living and no accountability to it. Absolutely not. I appreciate those songs this morning, brother, because it's going to go into what I think is very, very missing today. Like I just said in this short little introduction here, take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 6 as we continue to read through Genesis chapter 6. Brethren, some will say you're taking forever to get through Genesis. I can't help it. Brethren, I've read through my Bible. I don't know how many times I've read through my Bible. I've read through my Bible numerous times. the book of Genesis numerous times. And as I try to study through and go through the book of Genesis, the more I look at it, the more it jumps out at me that I've never seen before. And I thank God for that. And God's used it to work upon my heart. And so if you look, take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7. No doubt I know people that have been members and come into this church for years. I know Brother Gary spent a lot of time in the book of Genesis and creation. So I say that to say that I don't think a lot of people in here are ignorant of what occurs in the book of Genesis. But I think sometimes we can just read through Genesis and we can get what it says. But do we get really why it's happening? Okay, why it's occurring. And so look at Genesis chapter 6 and look at verse number 5 again. The Bible says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Bible says in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Look at his next statement, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the earth, from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray again. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, I just ask for your wisdom, guidance, and help now. Lord, help us to receive what you'd have out of this precious book. I thank you for it, Lord. And so, Lord, open our ears and our eyes, dear God. And Lord, just help us to draw closer to you. And Lord, that we would love you more. And so you receive the glory and honor and praise we ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says here, verse 5, we've looked at it numerous times. But the earth is in a position right here very, very early into the Bible. If you got a Bible this morning, you're not even in my Bible. I'm 6 pages in. And I think that counts some of what... I'm not even 6 pages. Yeah, 6 pages in. You find you're 6 pages into the Bible. 6 pages into the Bible, and God's already said, I'm done. We look at a Bible, we look at it, well, that's a pretty big book. You know, you hold it in your hands and you think, man, that's a lot to read, and there's a lot to it, and there is a lot to read in the Bible. There is a lot in the Word of God. But if you really put it in perspective, you're 6 pages in, and God says, I'm done. I'm done with it. Now, can you imagine where we're at today? Can you imagine the time and frame where we're at today to where God looks down? And what does God see today when he looks down from heaven? I believe he sees some of the same things that he saw at the times of Noah here. That man's heart is only evil continually. Thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. And I'll tell you what that evil is. I don't believe that evil is the blood and gore that we see during this time of year. I don't believe that evil is sodomy. I don't believe that evil is any other type of wickedness we can think of out there that we would think of. Well, yeah, that's what God really hates. I don't think God looks down and sees that evil and he sees the murderer and says, or the rapist or the thief. I think what that evil is men glorifying themselves over to God. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy, I believe in my mind, chapter 3, that men shall be lovers of their own selves. And they should get some, hey, somebody take a picture of me this morning while I'm preaching. The wickedness is not the murderer. The wickedness is not the rapist. The wickedness is not the thief. The wickedness is man glorifying man above God. You say, well, we're a preacher, so you don't think murder's bad? No, I think murder's real bad. You don't think rape's bad? No, I think rape's real bad. You don't think stealing's bad? No, I think stealing's real bad. But all those things follow after man glorifying himself above God. What did Satan do? He tried to glorify himself above God. Satan didn't kill nobody. Ezekiel chapter 28, Satan had to kill nobody. He wasn't a murderer at that time. He wasn't a thief other than he's trying to steal glory from God. Satan, what was the downfall of Satan? He tried to glorify himself, pride. Satan thought about who? Satan. Satan wanted to glorify Satan. Satan wanted to be on the throne rather than God. That's the evil. And then from everything out from underneath that flows the waterfall of murder, theft, sexual perversion, hatred, thievery, lying. All that flows from that waterfall where it starts at the very top of man loving man above God. Now, look what the Bible says in verse number 6. So we get, God says God sees all this wickedness and God hates this wickedness, and God sees that man's heart's only concerned with man continually. Man is consumed with man. Man is consumed now how man can benefit himself, how man can progress himself, how man can glorify himself. And brethren, if you don't see in our society today, everything revolves around us. How we can make our life better, how we can be more comfortable, how we can eat better food, how we can have a more luxurious lifestyle. It all revolves around us and how we can benefit us and how I can feel more comfortable and feel good about me. You see it today when you try to give the gospel, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, people look at you, you're making me feel uncomfortable. I'm not feeling very comfortable right now. You're getting into my safe zone. Brethren, what would this country do if all of a sudden God lifted up the doors and allowed us to go through what some of these other countries in this world's gone through? We wouldn't last, most of you in here, you wouldn't last 2 days down in Haiti. You wouldn't last two days down in Haiti. We're too comfortable. You know, I'm reading about Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary over to China. And I like reading about old time saints. You know what that man did before he was proving himself, he was trying himself. How he got saved was glorious. His mama was praying for him, his sister was praying for him. He ends up getting saved, glory to God. And then he felt after a little time that God was calling him to China. He didn't have Google back then. He couldn't look it up on the internet. There wasn't no encyclopedias. There were a few books here and there, maybe written about China, but where he lived, there was not much knowledge about how China was, but I believe God was laying upon his heart to go to China. And what impressed me about this man as he strives to live for God and love God and put God first in his life, he said, in order to prepare me for the hardships that I might have to face in China, he says, I'm getting rid of my comfortable bed and I'm getting a bed that's uncomfortable so that I learn how to sleep in uncomfortable situations. He said, I'll also get my diet down to where I just eat brown bread and water, and that will sustain me and prepare me for what I might get ready to face over in China. We can't get Christians to put down a TV remote. And I'm preaching to myself this morning, brethren. I'm preaching to myself. Don't think this preacher thinks he's holier than thou. No, I'm reading that book. You weren't reading it. I was reading it, and God was dealing with me. God was dealing with me. But as a pastor, I'm going to put it out to the sheep. See, our Christianity today is so far removed from what true Christianity used to be. So far removed. That I don't even think we realize where we're even at today. We think Jesus and Christianity is a Christmas tree with Santa Claus coming down the chimney, and we got a little babe in a manger, and we hand out gifts. And again, even that whole situation is all about me. How many churches they celebrate Christmas? And you would think that if you're celebrating the Lord's birth, you'd want to be in church the whole day because obviously it's all about him. No, it's not about him. It's about how we can glorify ourselves. Brethren, we're missing something today. And don't go out here today thinking this preacher wants me to sell everything I got, live on a hard bed, and he just wants me to eat bread and water. You're missing a point. You're taking it to the extreme. You're missing my point. My point is getting alone with God, having a walk with God, having a relationship with God, and figuring out in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, if you're saved this morning, how you can glorify him even more in your life than you did yesterday. And that's what Hudson Taylor, that's the whole principle of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor wanted to put God first. Why? Because he wanted to go to that country in China and tell others about the glorious, wonderful story of Jesus Christ. Brethren, the Bible says here in verse number 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Why? Why did it repent the Lord that he had made man on the earth? Why did it grieve God at his heart that he had made man on the earth? You see, this word repent here is defined as having regret or feeling sorry over what has occurred. You think about this for a moment as we read verse number 6 and we look at verse number 6 here. Think about this for a moment. Why would the Lord show a sorrow or a regret or a repented attitude for making man on the earth. I think it's because the reason God created man was so that God could have fellowship and a relationship with man. You know why I think God's so grieved and it's repented him, it's caused him regret and sorrow, and it grieves God's very heart? You see, God's got a heart today, brethren. God's not just some individual out there in space that has no connection with his creation. Actually, the God that's out there tries to have every connection with his creation. And right now, that's through Jesus Christ. Why? Because from the very beginning there in the garden when God made Adam and Eve, God made them in order to have a relationship and fellowship with him, because God wanted someone to love him back just as much as he loved them. That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about the opportunity to now have a right relationship with God again, because that's what he wants. He wants a relationship. Take your Bible and look at Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2. Don't just, when you read your Bibles, don't just read through it. If God has you stop somewhere, stop at that stop and try to let God help you pull out everything that's in these verses. All right, Genesis chapter 2, look what, right here in the beginning, look at verse number 18. Genesis 2:18. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. You see, God's looking down from heaven. He just created Adam. Adam is there with the animals, and Adam has named the animals. And God looks down. God takes interest in his creation. He sees Adam, and he says in his heart, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Look what he says next. I will make him an help meet for him. Now, that's not a help mate. That's a help meet for him. That word meet means fitting, suitable. God will make him a help that's fitting and suitable to Adam. So it says, God says, I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called the every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowls of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You see, God looks down from heaven in Genesis chapter 2, and he sees that it's not good for man to be alone. And God says, I'll make him a help meet or fit or suitable for him, that'll be his companion, that he'll have fellowship with, that he'll enjoy time with, that can be just like them, and they can enjoy one another. And God says, I'll make a woman, and I'll bring her unto Adam, and they can now come together, cleave to one another. Why? Why do people get married? Why do people get married? People get married to enjoy time with each other, right? People get married to enjoy time together. And that's very, very important. Now I want you to take your Bible and I want you to look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 1. Matthew 14, 1. Now, as we looked back at the beginning of Genesis there, and I'm talking about this fellowship and this relationship with God, God saw that Adam was alone and he gave him a woman. But let me ask you this question. Before God made creation, who did God fellowship with? Some would say he could fellowship with the angels. Maybe so. But I believe God looked and saw that he can't have the fellowship and relationship with the angels. So I believe God made the heaven and the earth and mankind in order to have a relationship with man. Look at Matthew chapter 14 and look at verse number 1. Now this is dealing with Herod, the King Herod. And in Matthew chapter 14 verse 1, Herod had just taken the life of John the Baptist. And the Bible says here, let me get here there a second. Matthew chapter 14. And the Bible says here in verse 1, and at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. And he said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. And John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she said, bring before me, and she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And look what the Bible says, and the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oak's sake, and for that which sat with him at meat, he commanded to be given her. The Bible says that Herod was sorry because of what he had promised to do to this woman's daughter, Herodias' daughter, and he ends up taking John the Baptist's life, and he's sorry over it. He's sorry over the decisions he made and what he had occurred there. Hang on a second. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, I thank you for this, again, this day, dear God. I pray you'd help, Lord, this morning. Lord, I pray you lead God and direct, dear God, in everything that's said and done for your glory and for your honor and for your praise. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I had to pray again there, brethren. Take your Bible, look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse number 10. 1 John 3, 10. Jump back to 1. I'm trying to get my thoughts here for a moment. John chapter 1. And look at verse number 3. The Bible says here, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Look what the Bible says here, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our, look what the Bible says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, here's that word again, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins, from all sin. Now, I want you to recognize these verses as we look back in Genesis. We're almost towards the end of the Bible here in 1 John, but the Bible says that Jesus Christ came into the world. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1 here in 1 John, John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, what? Of the word of life. When Jesus Christ came in this world 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was born there in the city of Bethlehem. They laid him in a manger. And if you think about it for a moment there, Mary and Joseph both. Now, Joseph had no part in his birth. Joseph was just basically a surrogate father. Joseph had no part in his birth. It was a virgin birth by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus was born there in that manger. They laid him in that manger. And think about this for a moment. You think about God, the one who created everything, the one who spoke everything to existence, has now humbled himself to become a little baby, to be born into this world, no room for him in the inn. He's laid there in that manger, the Lamb of God, which is to take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, left glory, came to this earth, and he became a man for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to be the atoning sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, which can take away your sins and my sins. Not just your sins, not just my sins, but the sins of the whole world. From the time of Adam up to the last individual, God, Jesus Christ, came to pay for sins. and he was born to pay for our sins. Now, why did he have to pay for our sins? Well, because we're sinners. But why else? In order to provide a way for me to get back to the way it should have been in the very beginning. You see, back there in Genesis, before Adam and Eve sinned in that garden, the Bible says in the cool of the day, the Lord God was walking in the garden. It means that not only does God have a heart, God also at that time was walking in the garden. And as God's walking in that garden, he's walking in that garden for one purpose, and that's to come to Adam and Eve in order to fellowship and spend some time with them, to enjoy his creation. And hopefully, with God's hope, he hoped that his creation would then reciprocate what he's trying to show them. God says, I created you, I loved you, I made you, with this in mind, that we can fellowship one with the other, that I can exhibit to you my majesty and my glory and my love and shine it and put it upon you with the hopes that you would then receive it and glorify me as your creator, and we could have fellowship one with another and enjoy each other's presence. Listen, I got married because I love my wife. That's why I married her. I didn't put a gun to her head and say, hey, you're going to marry me. That's called kidnapping, right? You're coming with me. I'm throwing handcuffs on you. I'm throwing you back in my car. That's called kidnapping. And if you force someone upon rape, I wanted my wife to be with me because my wife wanted to be with me. Now, I think there's times where she, because of me, right? Because of my stubbornness, yeah, I caused my wife headaches. But I believe in our marriage, I want to be with her and she desires to be with me. I wouldn't want her to be with me if she didn't want to be there. If she didn't want to love me for who I am, then I don't want that relationship. In that sense, as a husband and wife. And vice versa. I'm sure she wouldn't want me if I, you know, honey, I'll spend 2 days with you a year. No, that's not a relationship. A relationship is you want to be there for one another and love one another. And I believe that's what God desires this morning, brethren. And you know why people today, why so many people are taking their lives today, and why so many people are unhappy and they're trying to find satisfaction and peace and all kinds of things that this world has to offer, yet they're still miserable and undone because they're looking for it outside of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Listen, please hear me this morning. I know the Bible saves some by fear, but I knew about hell for a long time. I didn't get saved because I didn't want to go to hell. When I got saved 22 years ago, I didn't get saved. It wasn't in my heart. When I got saved that day, now it might be different for other people. I'm not saying it's always got to be this way, but I'm telling you what was in my heart. When I got saved today, I got saved because I wanted a relationship when my eyes finally realized what he had did for me, that he would love me. Brethren, each one of you in this room, you've done some things that nobody knows about but you and God. You've done some things in the dark. You've gone places you shouldn't go. You've done things. You say, preacher, I never done nothing like that. Well, then you've done things in your mind that nobody knows about. I was a good person. I never went to a bar. I never did this. I never did that. Oh, yeah, but you've done things in your mind that nobody knows about. Just the filthiness that runs through our minds, much less what we've done with our hands and our feet and our bodies. And when I realized that God up there sent his son and Jesus Christ was willing to take my place, how can I not love him? There's no other religion in the world that preaches anything like that. Buddha didn't die for anybody. Muhammad didn't die for nobody. Nobody in Hinduism, they got thousands and they got so many gods they can't even keep track of them all. There's no God out there or any religion out there that claims that God loves you and was willing to die for you and pay the price for your sins so that you can have eternal life. Too many people are trying to work for it when it's already been done for you in Jesus Christ. Brethren, I got saved because I wanted fellowship like it's talking about here in 1 John, verse number 3. Chapter 1, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. John's telling the brethren, he said, listen, he says, I'm showing you things that you can have fellowship with God just like I have fellowship with God. And he says in the latter part of verse 3, and truly our fellowship is with who? The Father. How do you get relationship and fellowship with the Father? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. And with his Son, Jesus Christ, and these things write with you, what? Verse 4, that your joy may be full. I'm going to ask you a question this morning, brethren. Are you happy this morning? I'm talking about inside. Are you happy? Do you have joy? Do you have a deep, abiding joy this morning? Jesus said, the Bible says here, that your joy may be full. I don't need to go out and get drunk tonight. I have joy. I don't need to drown myself in medications. I have joy in Jesus Christ. I don't need to go to the club tonight. I don't need to go to the movies. I have peace and joy with my relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. I have what the Bible says this morning, I have a peace. Do you have a peace this morning? Do you have a peace that passeth all understanding? A deep abiding peace that you can't explain? A joy that you can't explain because of what Jesus Christ has done for you in a new birth? Jesus Christ gives peace. Jesus Christ gives joy. And I'm not talking about religion. I wouldn't give you a dime for religion. In some respects, I despise religion. Because religion is just dead, cold orthodoxy. I'm talking about a life, a new life that begins inside by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And you have something that it is very difficult for you to explain what Jesus Christ has done for you. That fellowship with God. Do you have that fellowship this morning? You see, the Bible says that God was grieved in his heart. It repented him. It caused him regret and sorrow because God had just done all this creating. 7 days he created everything. 7 days he rested and he sees his creation. And now man, over time, even the first two people that got made, they had a children and one of their kids killed another kid, their brother. You're not even 3 or 4 pages in the Bible and somebody's killing somebody from the very first start. And God looks down on this and God is grieved at the hardness of man's heart. God is grieved at the madness of man's heart. God is grieved at the anger that is in man's heart. And it grieves and it sorrows him that he has made man and man has rejected God and man has turned inward instead of outward to God. And God says, I've got to do something about this, but it grieves my heart that I got to do this. I don't think God was up there in heaven doing a dance when he realized I've got to wipe everything out. I think God was grieved when he realized what I've got to do. And what I've got to do is I've got to wipe this slate clean and try to start over again with Noah and his family. And it grieved him at his heart what he knew was getting ready to occur, that his wrath and his judgment is getting ready to get poured out upon this planet. And it grieved God in his heart. He had a regret and sorrow of what has occurred with this creation that he has made and the point to where it's come. And it's grieving him that he's got to pour out this judgment. But because he's holy, but because he's God, it must be done. And I'm here to tell you this morning, brethren, that just as it was destroyed with water the first time, God says it must be done again by fire. And I believe we're pretty close to it today, to where basically most of mankind around this world really wants nothing to do with the truth of the Bible or the true God. Now you got a false Jesus out there and you got a false gospel out there and you got plenty of false Bibles out there. And I think most of mankind is getting sick of true Christians. And God's looking down from heaven, and the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. You see, God will fulfill what God says. But the Bible says, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A place to where they realize what they truly are before a holy God this morning. Brethren, you see, God must judge sin. God must judge wickedness. God must bring down his wrath because he's a holy, holy and righteous God. But you say, well, what kind of God would do those things? A God that loves us. A God that loves us. You see, I don't understand. If God's love, why would he bring down his wrath then upon this planet? Because God's holy and demands righteousness. You see, sometimes we're hypocritical in our statements that, well, I could never serve a God that would bring down judgment like that. Well, then, why don't you go live in a society that's lawless? We like law and judgment more than we realize we like law and judgment. If all of a sudden all the police forces across this country were taken away and there was no more 911, you'd love law and justice real quick. I'm serious, brethren. We don't realize how much we like law and justice until it's gone. When you're living in a state of anarchy and the mob rules, which is what's occurring right now in Haiti. In Haiti right now, there is no government. There's no government. There's a superficial, some people in power, but there's no government. It's basically mob rule, gang ruled situations and areas. There's no order. There's no structure. There's no, they got traffic lights, but they don't obey. There's no 911 down there. There was no 911 down there when I was down there. If you got in trouble in Haiti, there was no 911 for me to call and say, hey, I need help. Come. There was none. You were on your own. And it's even worse now than it was then. And the people down there, the people that have the power, the people that are poor, the people that do live in the slums and the hard areas, you know what they're crying out for? Someone to bring order and structure back to this country. And there's a lot of people out there today that they might not live in Haiti, but in their own life and in their own soul and in their own mind is chaos and complete destruction and chaos. Because what? Because they've never come to Jesus Christ in order to bring order and safety and peace within. You know why so many people today are going to the psychologist and a psychiatrist to get some type of drug for bipolar? Bipolar does not exist, brethren. It's a label. And I almost brought my DSM in here this morning. Look, I got a master's degree in Christian counseling and crisis and trauma, so don't look at me like I'm saying stuff. PTSD, it's a label. Bipolarism, a label. ADHD, a label. Oppressive dissociative disorder, it's a label. It's a label to put on there, then realizing what's going on behind the scenes, and it's man that's sinned against God, and he can't find peace outside of God, so man wants a label because man does not want to say there's a God up there to say these are why people are suffering with things. So we put a label on it, so hopefully it makes us feel better. I'm going to read it in the next sermon, brethren. I tried to do a lot of research, but I believe what I read, I'll have to double check it again. I believe 1 in 4 psychologists thinks about taking their own life, and they're gonna help you? Brethren, I've been around tables with psychologists and psychiatrists in the state system, and they're at a loss of words of what to do for these kids. They've tried the medication, they've tried therapy, they tried mindfulness, they tried cognitive behavioral therapy, they've tried all these therapy with these kids, and it's not working. And you know, I get mad about it. Why? Because I'd go in there and I'd see the suffering of these kids, and I see this nonsense by the state and the government trying to fix it with just a Band-Aid, and it ain't working. But you all don't see it. I'm telling you, there's a tsunami coming in on this country with a generation that can't control itself, and it's going to bring this country down. I've been saying it for years now. I worked in the state for six years down there in South Carolina. And you got a generation coming up today that has no feelings. They're numb. They think nothing of pulling a gun out and putting it to your head. None. Nothing. And I'm talking down to 11 and 12 years old, pulling guns out on people and not thinking anything about taking their life. Yet we'll put them on Prozac. Brethren, it's a scam by the devil to get man to forget man, to forget about God, and truly face what the problem is. And I'm telling you what the problem is. The problem is sin. And pop the pills and become zombies. I'd see kids, they give them the medicine. A couple minutes later, the kid's walking around like this. I'm not lying. And if they couldn't control him, they put him in a 6x8 cell. And if we really can't control you, we'll lock you in there for 2 months. And society doesn't see it. I saw it because I'd be down there with those kids as they're filth, their cells smell nasty and nobody else wants to go down there. I would go down in there with those kids. So don't get mad at me if I'm using these things. Brethren, no, my friend. I saw the destruction with it. And we put labels on things and people aren't getting help. As your pastor and as your preacher this morning, I love you and I want to help you get deliverance and get peace in your mind that can only come from Jesus Christ. Amen. And if everybody in the world hates me for it, then hate me for it, but I'm going to tell you the truth of God's word. Please, I beg you this morning, I'm not asking for religion. I'm not asking you for your money. I could care less about your money. We don't even take an offering up here. To me, I want this church to be like any other church that's in this world. And I believe there's other churches out there like that. I don't come to church because it's church. I despise religion as much as you despise religion. That's why I turned my back on God for a number of years, because I was raised in church and I despised it. Because you know what? I saw a bunch of people who claimed to be something and I was seeing it was different than what the Bible says. And I said, I want nothing to do with it. Until God got a hold of me, and I thank God he got a hold of me and gave me the truth. Amen. And he changed my life. And I'm telling you, he can change your life too and give you the peace and joy and hope and happiness that you're looking for. Amen. But it only comes with a relationship of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I want you to look at these last verses here. Ezekiel chapter 18. Please look at Ezekiel chapter 18. And I want you to look at verse number 20. Ezekiel 18 and verse number 20. In order to get this peace, in order to get this hope, in order to get this joy, you've got to turn from yourself and you've got to turn to Jesus Christ. Look at Ezekiel. Please look at Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse number 20. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 20. I'm going to say this before I read this morning. You know how much is planned to be made by the pharmaceutical companies in 2023 worldwide? Close to $16 billion to be made off of psychotropic drugs. You tell me there's not money behind it. Follow the money trail. There's a big old movie they put out there and they try to hide it up of what prescription these medicated drugs do to people. Why is it, some of you watched, I've seen commercials in places that put forth these medications to help, and then afterward you hear a man really fast talking afterward. You've heard it before when they give commercials. This drug might cause you to commit suicide. I'm not very smart, but if I'm taking this drug because I got thoughts with suicide, why would I take this drug that may cause me to think about suicide? Yeah, I'm stirred up this morning. Exodus chapter 18, look at verse number 20. Exodus 18, look at verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Look what it says in verse 20, latter part. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But look what the Bible says in verse 21. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. Now take your Bible, look down at verse number 30, same chapter, verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent. You know what repent, what the word repent means? It means, and to turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Look what verse 32 says. This is God talking. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Now, I know this applies to the Old Testament. I get that. But I find a principle here that God desires from Genesis to Revelation, God desires for man to turn from himself and turn to the true God in order to get the help and the peace and the forgiveness that he needs. Because why? Because God takes no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. God desires for everyone to come to truth in Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Please help us with these matters, dear God. Please help us. Lord, please, dear God, if there's someone here this morning, Lord God, that doesn't know what I'm talking about, a relationship with you, Lord, in truth, dear God, I'm not talking about a prayer. Lord, I'm talking about a genuine relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Lord, please make this manifest. Please open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of those that are with us this morning, dear God. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to have a greater love for you, Lord, those of us that are saved. Lord, that we would love you more than we did yesterday, dear God, and we'd love you more tomorrow than we did today. Lord, you're worthy of it. You're worthy of our love. You're worthy of our adoration. You're worthy of our praise, dear Lord. And I thank you this morning, dear God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that he went to that cross and died for me. Lord, I deserve to be there, Lord, but you loved me and you made a way out for me, and I thank you for it. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us now, Lord, in this next little bit, dear God, that you would be lifted up, magnified, and praised. And we ask these things now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can take a little break here. We'll get started in a few more minutes. If any men like to pray, we'll be praying in my office here in a few seconds.